Welcome in, everybody, to Tiger Talks After. Been quite a while since we've done one of these on here, but figured we'd give this a try and see how things go. Oh, Tony, I got an echo from you there, John. How you doing?
Doing good. Is that better?
Yes, that does sound better.
All right.
And that song you heard at the top was a Puppeteer, the official theme song for NXT Deadline by Right Field featuring Emotional Zayn.
That was song interesting.
As always. Yes. Wasn't the full song, but the majority of it. We'll finish it at the end of the show. Quite the interesting day for wrestling in general tomorrow. We're recording this here on Friday, tomorrow, December 10th. Starts off at 4 o'clock with Ring of Honor actually having a pay-per-view. Dive into that a little bit if we wanted to, but we're mainly here for NXT. I'm expecting big things from that Ring of Honor show. I mean, you got a tag team title match with dog collars and all four of the competitors, so.
Should be really interesting.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's happened ever or very much if it has anywhere, really. But we got FTI and got the Briscoes. Should be quite the interesting match. But anyway, that's Ring of Honor stuff. We're here for NXT, something that we both watch quite a bit. They got 5 matches currently scheduled for Deadline, which is usually about 5 or 6 is what they do for their premium live events. They made a big announcement, though, yesterday. NXT did that after Deadline, their next premium live event will be around Valentine's Day, just about a week before, I do believe. And they actually are going back out on the road.
Really?
Yes. It has been announced that, get all my city stuff correctly here. Oh, I gotta remember the name of the show, too. The one they've been doing in February. Bear with me for a second. So, Vengeance Day. Yeah, that's the correct word for it.
Well, that's the perfect kind of pay-per-view around Valentine's.
Yes. They announced yesterday that Vengeance Day premium live event in February will take place Saturday, February 4th in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Spectrum Center. Tickets will go on sale next Friday. Yeah. Almost like TakeOver is going back out on the road, but of course it's not TakeOver anymore. So with that, we know Vengeance Day will be then. They already had announced that, of course, Stand and Deliver will be WrestleMania weekend around the same spot as WrestleMania. I believe it's in the same arena that SmackDown will be the night before WrestleMania Night 1. And where Raw will be after WrestleMania Night 2. So perhaps next year we'll start all of the premium live events for NXT on the road. We'll see.
That would be amazing.
Yes, it would be.
Maybe we'll get nice one to get in out Grand of Rapids. The
that would be nice, but we'll see.
Or at least Detroit.
Right. Yeah, I don't think any of the takeovers really moved out to Michigan area.
No, I think the closest one was what, Chicago?
Yeah, I think so. And to put in that big news before we get into this, unique poster at this show right now, they got Bron Breakker on the poster for Vengeance Day, Mandy, of course, Toxic Attraction, Cora Jade, Roxanne Perez, Grayson Waller, Carmelo Hayes, and pretty deadly. Whether or not all them people will still be in NXT come February, we'll see, but we'll dive into that in a little bit. Let's go into the matches, though, and give our predictions, since that's what we're here for NXT Deadline. The first match we'll go into, Alba Fyre versus Isla Dawn. This is a match that's just come about over the last few weeks. Alba Fyre looked like she had Mandy Rose beaten in that last woman standing match until Isla Dawn debuted in NXT and blew fire in her face and knocked her through the table, costing Alba Fyre the NXT women's title. We've seen one altercation since then where Alba Fyre got a little bit of vengeance or revenge, not enough. And now we get the match as these two will face off in Isla Dawn's second match in NXT. What do you got, John? You there? Uh-oh. Might have lost him.
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I hear you. Lost you there for a second, I guess.
Sorry about that. I would say that I'm going to go with Isla Dawn for the win, because I feel like if they're really going to build with this feud, the new person getting that win, heat things up. And I feel like they can progress a lot farther, starting off with a win for Isla Dawn, and then have, I'm not going to call her Alba Fyre, and have Kaylee Ray come back and whoop her butt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I agree. It should just be Kaylee Ray instead of Alba Fyre. But it is what it is. And I also will agree. I feel like Isla Dawn, the way that they had her debut, I just think that the NXT higher-ups kind of have big plans for her, from what I've heard and read. So I do believe, like you said, Isla Dawn will probably get the victory here. Whereas this rivalry, of course, will move on past Deadline, but I think Isla Dawn probably will look pretty damn good in this rivalry altogether and pick up the first win between these two as well.
For sure.
All right. I'm going to go into the one of two title matches that we've got on the show. This one came at a last minute surprise this past Tuesday night on NXT for anybody who didn't see. Spoiler alert here.
Yes,
pretty
it did.
Pretty deadly. Going to be defending the NXT tag team titles against a non-NXT tag team, against a tag team from SmackDown who could make history in their own right at Deadline. Of course, that being Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, the New Day, who are 11-time WWE Tag Team Champions, could be 12-time, but would also join only two other tag teams in WWE history to win all three Raw, NXT, and SmackDown tag team titles if they walk out with the titles. Of course, the other two teams being the Revival and the Street Profits. So what you got here, John? You got New Day or you got Pretty Deadly walking out with the gold?
See, I'm a little torn in between with this one because I want to see New Day. Love. I can't stand these little British nobodies from Pretty Deadly. But
yeah, me neither.
I feel like Pretty Deadly is going to come out on top.
I think I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I think the New Day, Xavier Woods, from what I've heard, what Sean said in a press conference yesterday, I think it was, Xavier Woods started, of course, in NXT and has always wanted to come back. They pick and choose who they try to bring from the main roster. They want to try and do something with them more than just one show. So I feel like the New Day is going to win the tag titles here, and then they'll build towards either Pretty Deadly or another tag team. I'm hoping another tag team eventually take the tag titles from the New Day, and that'll make for a huge step up for any tag team to beat the New Day to win the NXT tag team titles. So I feel like that's kind of how they should go. Whether or not they will, we'll see. But I'm going to go with New Day winning the tag team titles.
Okay.
So we're going to move on. Let's move into the first of the two Iron Survivor Challenge matches.
Oh, you mean the championship scramble with no championships?
Yeah, pretty much what they are. So, for anyone who's listening to this and may not have watched NXT and found out, I'll go over the rules for these matches. So, you'll start the match with 2 out of the 5 wrestlers. And then every 5 minutes, another wrestler will enter until all 5 participants have entered the match. After the last wrestler enters, there is a predetermined time limit, which 25 minutes, I do believe. Each time a wrestler scores a pinfall, submission, or being the victim of a disqualification, they gain a point. Wrestler who is pinned, submitted, or is disqualified has to go into a penalty box for 1.5 minutes, 90 seconds, as it says. The winner of the match is the wrestler who scores the most points at the end of the time limit. And the winner of the women's match here becomes the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. So it's a kind of, like you said, a little bit of a championship scramble, but yeah, also kind of like the King of the Mountain / Queen of the Mountain match that they have in Impact Wrestling as well.
Yes.
Happens to go into the penalty box. So for anybody who watches Impact that might listen to this at some point, put that out there for you. So that'll give you an idea of what this match will look like. The 5 competitors in the Women's Iron Survivor Challenge match are Zoe Stark, Cora Jade, Roxanne Perez, Kiana James, and Indy Hartwell.
You knew that was coming.
Yeah, because you're a big Nikita Lyons fan, which I don't blame you.
Who should be in this match?
You would think she would be with Zoe turning on her, but for some reason she's not. I mean, she would make more sense than Cam and James, in my opinion, in this match.
Who?
Exactly. Kiana James.
I mean, Fallon would have made more sense.
Right?
Even though that's another who, Kiana, but still.
But still, Fallon Henley's a little bit more out there, and people know her from being teamed up with Brooks and Jensen, or Brooks and Briggs, I mean. Jensen. Where's Brooks and
Briggs. Why not have Ivy Nile in this?
Right? Why?
There's so much in this match, and they didn't.
I know, right? So I'll go with what I'm saying here. I just feel like this match is catered around one person and one person only, and that person probably will win it. No offense. I know it's you booed her right away, but I feel like Zoe Stark's getting another shot at the women's title.
You know. Hey, you say what you feel is right. That's all good. Well,
yep.
If you look at the card, there's a lot of heels in that match and one face.
That's true.
And do I think this particular person is ready for a title shot against Mandy Rose? No, but I'm going to go with say Roxanne Perez is going to win this.
Okay. I mean, technically, she could have took a women's title match already, but she decided to cash it in with a tag team title shot instead. But
right. And we see where that got her.
Roxanne. Yeah. Dabbed in the back by her former best friend that's in this match as well. So,
You know, Roxanne was kind of like a thing, huh?
Yeah, kind of, doesn't it? All right. Well, since we're on the topic, I guess we could move into the men's version as well, then. For the men, it's just like the women. You got 4 heels and a face pretty much in there. You got Carmelo Hayes, JD McDonagh, Grayson Waller, Joe Gacy, and Axiom. Again, I will say, as you mentioned in the first match, there seems like there's so many other people they could have put in here instead of some of the guys that they did.
Yeah.
I have no problem with Carmelo Hayes, with JD McDonough and Grayson Waller really being in here, but Gacy and Axiom, I just feel like are out of place in this type of match.
Well, I mean, I can understand Axiom, but Gacy, no.
Right.
I hate Von Wagner. I would rather have him in this match than Gacy.
No, I wouldn't say I'm not a Wagner fan, but I would have said put in Tony D'Angelo in that spot instead of Gacy. I know he's just coming back from injury, but still.
But I feel like D'Angelo is going to go after the winner of Dijak and Lee.
Except for that match isn't happening, at least at Deadline anyway.
Right.
I feel like they're going to end up in a triple threat, those three, at some point. But, yeah.
But there's still, like, much more potential they could have used.
Right? But out of these five guys, who do you think's getting the shot to become the number one contender for the NXT Championship?
I'm going Grayson Waller.
That's an interesting pick.
The reason is, I don't think it's going to be an Axiom. He's just there for the performance.
Right. I'd agree with that.
And you look at the others, and I don't know if this rules out Carmelo. I think it does, but look at the others. They've already feuded with Braun.
Yeah.
So I feel like Waller is that next step. And there's a reason why I'm saying Grayson Waller.
Why's that?
Oh, we still got one more match.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I understand why you're saying it then.
Yep.
But I'm going to disagree with you again. I could see Waller winning. I just feel like he's been in the North American title picture for way too long. They need to either put him in the NXT title picture, give him an actual feud with Braun, because he hasn't had one. FYI.
Okay.
Not a decent one. Or they need to just move him up to Raw or SmackDown. One or the other. You can't keep having Carmelo in the NXT North American title picture. He's a great athlete. He needs to be elevated. He needs to be doing something more, I feel like. So I think this is the spot where Carmelo needs to show up, show out, as he always does every show, every premium live event, and actually pick up a multi-person match win. Because every multi-person match that he's been a part of, Carmelo has lost those ladder matches or anything else. So I feel like this is where Carmelo needs to really shine, get the win, go on to face the NXT champion in whenever the match takes place. So I got Carmelo Hayes winning this match. So that leaves us, like, before I drive in, go into that, go a little bit deeper into what we were talking about. Wesley, the North American champion now. We had Dijak return to NXT a couple weeks ago, attacking Wesley this past week. Well, over the last few weeks, Tony D'Angelo has been talking backstage with Wesley, saying he wants a shot at the North American title as well. Him, those two were talking in the ring. Dijak showed up on the Tron, talking from the back. That's a lot of why I say, Wesley told Tony D'Angelo, "Hey, bud, you got to wait in line, so I need payback on Dijak." And Tony D, Madonna NXT, says, "Hey, I'm not waiting any lines. I'm next." Dijak, of course, says no to that. So that's why I feel like the logical thing is to make a triple threat match, whether they make that last second here for Deadline or down the road at some point. We'll see. It's just how I feel that storyline's going, though.
Yeah.
Is there any other storyline to dive into? Not really from that. Interesting triple threat matches that we had leading to the final spots in those two Iron Survivor Challenges matches. Indy Hartwell beating Fallon Henley, as mentioned earlier, and Wendy Chu. Wasn't too much of a surprise. Fallon was the only other viable one, I felt like, and possibly could have won that. Axiom. Axiom, I was expecting to win that one over Von Wagner and Andre Chase just because there was no good guys in there. So it was either that or I kind of thought they might go with Andre Chase winning that match.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, and then having his student cost him in the match.
Yeah. That's what I was feeling like, having Duke Hudson cost him.
Especially with Grayson Waller already in there.
Right. So I was a little bit surprised that Axiom won that match. But it is what it is. We'll see where the chips fall. Fallon Henley has her issues with Kiana James. I'm sure those aren't over and will be played out through NXT past this. But we haven't seen... You know, it's weird that Fallon Henley and Kiana James just started a rivalry not that long ago. They had... Fallon Henley was in a rivalry with... Lash Legend, but it was a very short one where we've seen a six-person tag match, and I don't think we've really seen Lash Legend since then.
Nope.
Not that I'm complaining. I mean, I'm not a huge Lash Legend fan, but...
I'm glad she hasn't been on.
I'm just wondering if maybe there was an injury or something there, because it seemed like that just suddenly ended.
Right.
We'll see. Move on to the main event here real quick. This is a big match, really. First time ever that we've ever seen this match happen. The build to it has been strange, I guess, is one word you could put in there for it. Not sure what you mention it, but, I mean, the guys went out fishing this past Tuesday on NXT, of all things, and sat down for coffee last week. But what else do you do with two baby faces, I guess? Oh, breaking the fourth wall here. Anyway, you got Apollo Crews, whose main mission to return to NXT was to win the NXT championship. Going for the said title against Bron Breakker, the NXT champion, who has been champion for the most part of the last year. I honestly could see Apollo picking up the win here and winning the NXT title. I just feel like there's not a whole lot of viable competitor challengers left besides Carmelo Hayes that I mentioned earlier for Bron Breakker to face that he hasn't faced at some point. So I could see Apollo winning it and taking things going, moving forward as an NXT champion. Maybe see Bron Breakker get moved to Raw or SmackDown, because I know there's been talks of it happening. That's my thing.
Okay.
What do you got?
Well, the quote, Busta, transitional champion.
Yeah.
I believe it's a 95% certainty that Apollo is leaving with the title. Bron is getting the call up, whether they do it before the Rumble or at the Rumble. I get there's still some time before that, but it's happening. But I feel like Apollo Crews is just a transitional champion for whoever wins that Iron Man match is going to become the new champion.
I can see that. Because I don't see... I mean, no offense to Apollo Crews or anything, but I just don't see them giving him the NXT title for a long reign.
So. Yeah. I think that they're doing it that way. So, because really, if you look at that list, no offense to Carmelo Hayes, but if you look at the list of the five in there, I really don't see any of them being able to take the title off Bron.
Right.
And but I can see Apollo losing to at least three of them.
Right. I mean, Grayson Waller has beaten Apollo before. Carmelo, JD and Carmelo, I think both have. I'm not sure if Carmelo's faced Apollo or not. I know JD's beaten Apollo, though.
No, but I can see both Carmelo, JD. The only one that I can't really see. I mean, I get Axiom and Apollo fight.
Well, yeah, but I just don't see that being a title match at some point in time.
Really. No. And I don't see Joe Gacy either, so I think it's literally, it's got to be one of those three that we talk about is going to be the winner, because I feel like that would make the best title match.
Right. Even if Brian was to retain, I feel like it'd have to be either Waller or Hayes to get the title
match. Yeah, it wouldn't be JD again.
No, he's had plenty of opportunities already.
Although, JD is quite the entertainer and wrestler.
That's true. I agree with that. I understand why Shawn Michaels is a big fan of JD's.
Oh, yeah. It's like a British Shawn Michaels.
Right?
Like, from when you broke away from Mari Jenny, all that attitude and everything.
Maybe even a little more sadistic, though.
Yeah. I mean, he's laughing while blood's coming out of his mouth. Yeah.
Right? But yeah. Fantasy book a little bit there, but still.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see how things go from there. Yeah, and then we'll see after deadline tomorrow night. We'll be the start to the build to Vengeance Day in February. So let's see what happens. I feel almost like I don't know if they'll do it with both, or if they might think it's too far away, but I almost feel like the winners of the Iron Survivor matches, at least the men's one, probably will get their title shot at Vengeance Day. So I can see Apollo holding it for that 2 months or just under.
Well, it's either that or they're going to put two NXT title matches on the Rumble card.
Yeah, I don't feel like they'd do that, but you never know with Triple H in charge, I guess.
Yeah. At least to give a couple wrestlers some more, like, a chance for, like, the actual WWE Universe or what goes to Raw, give them a little taste of that.
Yeah. So, well, I got you here, though. Going off subject a little bit, but not fully, since we haven't mentioned anything about it since then. Survivor Series War Games, what'd you think of the show?
I mean, I thought it was wonderful. I was worried about how they were going to do with the War Games matches. And I think the best part was instead of having Jimmy go down and saving
Sammy.
And right. It just made that match so much better because you had to see Sammy finally make that decision, and to get that respect was like the whole story coming together.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, that War Games match, just not the full match itself, but just all the building towards the Bloodline fully accepting Sami Zayn, if you will, was perfectly done.
Sami Uso.
Okay, Sami Uso.
You gotta feel. Yeah. He was feeling oozy.
Just a little oozy. And Jay started finally feeling oozy.
About time.
Right. The women's War Games match was really good. I felt like at the beginning too.
That ladder.
Right. I was glad they differentiated the two matches a little bit, though I feel like going forward to do War Games matches to have two on one show, they need to have different weapons maybe involved in both shows, if they're going to do weapons, which they usually do.
There's too much tables.
Yeah, well, yeah, always. But there's other weapons they could bring in. I mean, we've seen kendo sticks, chairs, ladders, tables. But there's other things you could bring in. You can bring in the fire extinguishers or trash cans more. I mean, we've seen them, trash cans. But there's other things that they can bring in.
Yeah. And then I think one of my favorite moments from the Women's War Games match, besides Rhea Ripley putting Mia Yim through the ladder, has got to be them giving that moment to Nikki Cross for the cross body off the top of the cage.
Yes, that was amazing. Whether or not War Games will be a Survivor Series staple going forward, it kind of sounds like Triple H wanted to do that, but that's just my opinion. They need to differentiate the two matches just a little bit more than how they did at this year's. Yes, you had more storyline driven wise for the men's, but mm-hmm. I just feel like they could have done even more with what they did. Not saying they were bad, just saying there was more that could have been used in my opinion. And I personally have always been a fan of the traditional Survivor Series elimination matches, so I would love to see those make a return. I mean, you don't have to have a bunch of them on the card, but throw in at least one for Survivor Series, since it is still Survivor Series.
Yeah.
That was one of my biggest things for that. Going over even just the other three matches that were on the show, AJ Styles and Finn Balor, man. Those two that can't have the house down. Match. Yeah, it did. I would say, no offense, but I think that was actually my favorite match of the night of the five. So,
I would agree with that, yes.
I mean, the men's War Games match would have to be right behind it, and probably the women's right behind that. But
I have to say, but the most shocking match ending has got to be that triple threat match.
Yes, I would agree with that, definitely. I was not expecting Theory to walk out with the United States Championship.
I thought Theory was just there to take the fall.
Me too. I mean, Rollins had just won the title a month ago or something like that at that point, close to it.
Yeah.
Felt like Rollins was going to walk out still champion.
And then there was the match that really wasn't a match.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we even have to bring it up? I mean, I like Ronda Rousey. She's a really good competitor, but man, she's had some clunkers of matches lately, in my opinion. No offense to Liv Morgan and Shotzi, but I just feel like...
Excuse me? Excuse me? You take that first name back, mister.
I will not.
Yes, you will.
I will not. I know you're a Liv Morgan fan. No offense to Liv, but I just felt like Liv and Ronda's matches weren't that great, just like I felt like Shotzi and Ronda's match was shit.
You want to know what? I'll accept that because you said it was just not that great. But when you put it to Shotzi, it was shit. So you want to know what? We're good.
Okay. Well, I'm just stating facts here because the Ronda and Shotzi match was the worst match Ronda's had since she's returned, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Her and Charlotte had some really good matches, Ronda and Charlotte. But in my opinion, that's the best rivalry she's had since she returned. So... at the beginning of this year. The next one, from what it sounds like, is going to be Ronda and Raquel at the Royal Rumble. Not sure how I feel about that one. They had a pretty good match on SmackDown, though, when Raquel debuted on SmackDown. So hopefully we'll get a pretty good match between those two at Royal Rumble, if that's how they actually go, like it sounds like.
Okay. I mean, it should be an interesting match.
It's got to be better than what Shotzi and Ronda put together.
Well, Shotzi is one of those competitors that she's got to have chemistry to make good, and her and Ronda did not have chemistry.
No, they didn't. Not at all. But, I mean, past that, Survivor Series War Games was a really good show other than that match. The next premium live event, of course, after Deadline for WWE is my favorite.
Mine too.
Royal Rumble. Now, a lot of people say WrestleMania is their favorite, but Royal Rumble beats WrestleMania just by a hair for me.
Because you don't, it's the unpredictability.
I know, right? Big news also WWE mentioned, put out there today. December 30th, the last episode of Friday Night SmackDown in 2022. Marks the return of Mr. Hustle, Loyalty, and Respect himself, John Cena.
John Cena sucks. John Cena sucks.
I've been waiting for that. With him returning, though, on the final episode of SmackDown this year, kind of have to wonder, is John Cena...
I hope not. No. No.
Going to enter the Royal Rumble match.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Not with it.
I thought you were going to say they're going to be Reigns and Cena at the Rumble.
Oh, no. Last I heard, Roman Reigns is set to defend against a person he faced a couple years ago at the Royal Rumble again.
Would that be a certain, Owens fight?
Yes, sir. Also, from a rumor had it, that match could take place inside a 20-foot structure.
Is Sammy going to be in a shark cage hanging over too?
Shark cage hanging over Hell in a Cell. Maybe, huh?
I'm sorry, that'd be hilarious.
It would be, but that's the rumor, is that KO and Roman might face off in a Hell in a Cell match at the Royal Rumble.
I think it'd be interesting, but that's not what I want to see.
From what I heard, the rumor is Kevin Owens gets a title shot at Royal Rumble, and then Extreme Rules is in Montreal. Oh. Who else happens to be from Canada besides KO?
Sami Zayn.
Exactly. So the rumor is Kevin Owens gets first, Sami Zayn gets second.
So basically, Sami Zayn's going to do something after all the oosiness is out.
Yep. Rumor has it. For anybody listening, if you didn't want to hear those rumors, well, sorry. I should have put a rumor on there. That all is supposed to lead to, from what every rumor I've seen says, to a big tag team title match at WrestleMania. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn versus the Usos for the undisputed tag team titles.
So. I would have rather seen the Paul brothers versus the Usos, but you know, still going to be really? A good match. Yeah, I think it would have been funny.
Yeah. Logan Paul did come out and say that he's hoping to be part of the Royal Rumble, by the way. For anybody who hadn't seen that.
Yeah, I mean.
As bad as he thought it was.
I just want to see him get the Samoan Spike. You know, let's do some more tribute to Umaga.
Right? From Solo.
Oh my God, Riddle got rocked.
Yeah, he did. I have a feeling Riddle actually might have been injured before that match going into it, because he has been pulled off of live events this weekend at least.
So they just had to like kind of write him off.
Yeah. That's what it's looking like.
But wouldn't it be funny, though, if, let's say, next week the Bloodline's out there and all of a sudden you hear, I hear the voices in my head.
Well, that would be great, but unfortunately, I don't think that we're getting that yet.
No, we won't be. It's so sad.
Right? Can't wait for Randy to come back, but hoping that he does. Of course, the Usos got a big match tonight defending their undisputed tag team titles against Sheamus and Butch of the Brawling Brutes on SmackDown.
So, when is Ricochet fighting?
Next Friday. On my birthday, Friday night SmackDown on my birthday is when Ricochet gets Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Went quiet and I lose you again. Oh, I might have. All right. That'll be a big match next Friday night on SmackDown. Tonight also got Raquel. No, no, I think it's Shotzi with Raquel facing Shayna Baszler with Ronda Rousey in her corner. John, you there? Lost you again, seems like, for a moment. Well, we got Deadline replacing NXT War Games taking place in Orlando, Florida tomorrow night at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Matches. Get John back, or if he's gone this time, we're not hearing yet.
Hello.
Let's try it. It ended it, but we'll try to end this properly here with our final thoughts that we were having. Next Friday night on SmackDown is when Ricochet gets Gunther 1-on-1 to get a Continental Championship again.
Okay.
So, tonight we just got the Usos versus the Brawling Brutes for the tag team titles. You got... Let me double check. I know I mentioned that. What else is on tap? Oh, Kurt Angle birthday celebrations tonight.
Oh, you know who else is from Pittsburgh that's an Olympian?
Who?
Gable. Gable Stevenson.
Gable Stevenson, yeah. Huh. They took it off there. Okay. There was a women's match scheduled for tonight, too. It was supposed to be, I believe it was Shotzi with Raquel in her corner versus Shayna with Ronda in her corner. But that's not on there. WWE.com preview now.
I mean, that would make sense because that would help build towards Ronda and Raquel.
Right. Just double checking because I knew that match was on there, but the only two things they got is a tag team title match and Kurt Angle's birthday celebration. It's kind of appropriate for Kofi Kingston to be the first person to announce he's going to be in the Royal Rumble last week, though.
I mean, you mean the Royal Rumble human highlight reel?
Yeah, exactly. Except for he's got to make up for this year, though, next year, this upcoming year.
Right.
He even said so himself. He botched his save last year. Let's see. I'm going to go to WWE.com or WWE's Twitter page rather and see if that has that advertised or any other things. Yeah, I already went through that. John Cena returning for the final SmackDown of 2022.
John Cena sucks.
My Santa Sescalar. I'm sure he'll be on the show tonight at some point or another. Looking for WWE. So what do you take of the whole William Regal leaving AEW to come back to WWE?
I mean, he could have brought some people back with him, I'm just saying.
True.
But I mean, I don't know. I was never really a fan of Regal, but I feel like even if he comes back in like a leadership role,
yeah,
I feel it'll be good for the company.
And the thing is, he can't be on TV until 2024. Was part of the whole letting him go.
Yeah,
but I feel like that'll probably be best. That'll probably be what they'll do is put him as general manager of NXT again or something when they can. It'll be nice that he'll be there to coach, to help along his son in NXT while he's there. Charlie Matthews, of course.
How about Umaga's kid starting training?
I did see that. That is interesting. Oh, okay. Here we go. Kathy Kelly. I'm actually going to play this here. 1 second. So you can hear it. I mean, you guys can't see it, obviously, but this reveals why we're not getting that women's match tonight.
Delgado Del Fantasma. The Viking Raiders have been absolutely annihilating every tag team since their return. Does that give you any apprehension going into tonight's match?
Kathy, really? That's your question? Legado del Fantasma no le tiene miedo a nada. Legado del Fantasma is...
Follow that!
So you can't tell from not watching it, but the screaming was Shotzi as she had her hand slammed into a car door by Rhonda and Shayna. That is why that match has been canceled.
Oh.
But it also tells you another match that we've got on the card for SmackDown tonight. Legado del Fantasma, which will be Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro, will be facing the Viking Raiders tonight on SmackDown.
Cruz del Toro. What? You mean yeah. Raul Mendez?
Mendoza. Yeah.
Can we just go back?
No, it's just like he's still... I know, right? I was going to say, that's just like he's still Butch and should be Pete Dunne by now, but...
I mean, he's dressing like he's Pete Dunne again.
Right? He's just still acting a little bit crazier than what... be used to.
He's acting like if Shinsuke was British.
Yeah. Speaking of, we haven't seen Shinsuke a whole lot lately either.
Speaking of Shinsuke.
Yeah.
I miss Rick Boogs.
Right? I'm wondering how much longer it's going to be until he gets to come back.
Oh, he's come back to the Rumble.
Think so, huh?
Yeah, we're gonna get the announcement. Oh, it's gonna be another 40-man Rumble.
Hey, there was talks that Triple H was thinking of doing that, so 40 men and 40 women wouldn't be too surprising.
They could put on an amazing Rumble with it.
Right.
Because that's more storylines you could put in that match.
That's true. We'll see what happens, if it'll get changed to 40 or not. But
probably won't.
I think he'll do fine with just 30 as well.
I'm looking been so much better, but there weren't the storylines to help get it over that hump of being the first 40-man Rumble.
Right. And I mean, with who you had win that first 40-man Rumble, that didn't help matters either.
Neither did the runner-up.
Right? Santino?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm almost surprised I remember that Santino was a runner-up to Alberto Del Rio in that.
Remember when Santino almost won the Elimination Chamber?
Yes.
Good times.
Nuts. That's what that stuff was. But
happened, but you started cheering for him anyways.
Right? You knew Brian wasn't going to win anyway, but... The Cobra came out and almost won the match.
Yup.
I mean, that guy, kudos to him for being able to pull off the gimmick of Santino Marella.
Oh, yeah.
Really good athlete. I mean, it's nice that we've got his daughter now in NXT as well, but, well, I don't think she's actually made her NXT debut, but. She is in the Performance Center. All right. I would imagine with the Royal Rumble coming up soon that WWE is going to have to make a couple of big announcements really soon. because it's usually right around Royal Rumble time that they announce, well, last year anyway, the new WWE video game, for one, which actually should have been announced before now. But the other being, tickets for the Hall of Fame are going on sale soon, so they'd have to mention the first member to go in the Hall of Fame this year soon, I would imagine.
Yeah, it'll probably start with, and well, I almost want to say it might, they might announce it on Monday.
Maybe. We'll see.
What do you think's going to be first?
That's a good question. I have no clue. I don't even know. I mean, last year we all knew Undertaker had to go in.
Yeah.
But this upcoming year, so tough. Who do you throw in there? I mean, they're WrestleMania being in LA. I don't know. I really don't have any idea. I got an idea for the following year's WrestleMania Hall of Fame, but
where's that one going to be at?
Philly.
Oh, I wonder who's going to go in at Philly.
ECW guys would be prime targets.
Maybe someone like Tommy Dreamer?
Maybe. Or even a Paul Heyman?
Oh, that whale.
Or Walrus, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, being in LA, you could think of one person, I guess, technically, that could go in it. But knowing that there's talks of him being in a main event at WrestleMania, would they actually put him in the Hall of Fame beforehand?
Are we talking about The Rock?
Of course, we're talking about Dwayne. It wouldn't be the first time somebody went in the Hall of Fame and then wrestled at WrestleMania. I mean, Ric Flair did it, but I don't know. We'll find out soon. Maybe Batista gets the spot finally.
I doubt it.
Well, he was supposed to go in a couple of years ago, so
I could see him in Philly.
Maybe. What do you got? Who do you think then?
Oh, I'm trying to think of who would be the diva, the woman.
Ooh, that one's tough. I mean, Charmel was last year the woman person to go in.
What about I don't even know if she's still alive, but is Miss?
No, she's not in yet, and no, she's not alive, unfortunately, either. She should go in, but I could think of another person that should go in for the women
that has connections to LA.
I'm not sure if she's got full connections to LA or not, but.
Victoria. I don't know.
No?
I mean,
you got Tori Wilson in there already. I mean, Victoria is a much better wrestler than she was.
Yeah, but Tori Wilson was hotter, so. I mean, remember what she said in her Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah.
You know, Vince loved his blondes.
That's true. We'll see.
Vicky Guerrero, that's who's going next.
Sure. Be interesting to see who they pick after last year. I mean, who would have thought that the Steiner brothers of all people would have went in last year? So.
I mean, they really had a good class last year.
They did. I still say and will forever say that Undertaker should have went in solo though last year.
Oh, yeah.
No offense to the rest of them, but
there will never be another Undertaker.
Right. Andre got was the very first person to go into the WWE Hall of Fame, and he was the only person when he went in the year he did. So, and yes, it was passed after he had passed, but
I feel but like
I'm deserves a little then taker.
Yeah.
I know what they'll do. They'll have Big Show come back and put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. After his return on AEW?
Yeah. Yeah, they could bring him back long enough for the Hall of Fame and then let him just bow him for that two nights, three nights. Right. Yeah. But anyway.
Trying to think, because you know there's got to be at least one person that's going to have ties to L.A.
Right?
Or somewhere in California.
And I'm not sure who, surprisingly, not really sure who does or would.
It's got to be. It's got to be someone that was in WCW as well.
Possibly.
I know it's not going to be them, but what was that tag team that John Laurinaitis was a part of?
Thank goodness, no. Those two won't be going in the Hall of Fame. I can't even think of their names either. They were some surfer guys or whatever, but I know who you're talking about. Still there? Did I lose you again?
I'm still here.
Okay. Makes me wonder when you get quiet.
Yeah,
recording's done processing. Hopefully it'll let me put these two together. It should. Into one.
Yeah, it should.
All right. So anything else we want to mention before put this off? Turn this off.
Not that I can think of.
Things going down in AEW, but nothing worth mentioning, really. Oh, I will say, I was watching Dynamite this past Wednesday, and something happened I didn't think I'd ever really see. MJF got one up on the mic.
By Ricky Starks.
Of all people, yes.
I don't think anyone saw that coming.
Right? I mean, I knew Ricky could talk, but never did I expect something like that. I even seen online where some people were saying maybe this is AEW's version of Rock and Austin. I was like, I don't know if I'd go that far, but hey, you never know.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Each their own. I mean, Starks and MJF could eventually be long-term rivals. You never know.
I mean, yeah, they could be.
Just about homegrown guys in AEW, why not, right?
Right. Carlito.
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
Could he be a possible Hall of Famer?
I mean, maybe. They did bring him back last in 2021 for the Royal Rumble.
Which I called.
Yes, he did. They still should have had him back for more than just the Royal Rumble and the night after, but
yeah.
They still look like he's in great shape and he's been wrestling other places. Anyway, we'll see if any of our thinking comes through or not, but who knows? Maybe John Cena's coming to SmackDown to announce he's going in. Doubt that, but he will eventually. But
John Cena sucks.
Yes, I know you keep saying that.
That's Cena, my favorite part of live events with John Cena. Let's go, Cena. Cena sucks.
Yeah.
It's beautiful when you hear it live.
I bet it is. I've never seen Cena live.
Well, I've never seen live either, but I mean, when you're sitting there and the lights are out and you got everyone trying to start chants around, that one usually goes around pretty well.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what John Cena brings to the table when we get to SmackDown in 3 weeks.
A whole lot of nothing.
Oh, wait, sorry. No, that's right. First time in 3 weeks. Maybe. Maybe not. I know I technically won't be watching it. I'm going to be out of town that week. Out here. All right. So anyway, as per usual, we go off topic and not just talk about the show that we're on here for. But that's what this is all about. Just wrestling, for the most part.
So, laying the SmackDown.
Indeed. That was one thing I did kind of have to laugh at. MJF using one of the Rock's catchphrases against Ricky too in that promo battle. But
leave it to MJF.
Right. He could be in WWE come 2024.
That's Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, he could go in the Hall of Fame. It's possible.
I mean, he's from California.
True. San Diego. So they could do that. They could have Rey be their main attraction who has to speak to go in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But he's got his hands, he's going to have his hands full with Karrion Kross, it looks like, when he comes back to TV. It's Karrion Kross sent a message last week on SmackDown.
Yeah, Karrion Kross. Run away. Karrion Kross.
Runs away from Yes, he does love sending messages. I mean, Ray runs away from Raw to get away from his son. Ends up in a brief little rivalry with Imperium and Gunther. And now he's got Karrion Kross breathing down his neck. Poor guy.
Hey, he's the littlest underdog for a reason.
That's true. All right. So, I think that puts us at a good spot here. It's going to be close to 40 to 50 minutes, something like that, between the two to put together. Not closer to an hour. So, with that, tomorrow night, again, 8 o'clock Eastern time, is when NXT Deadline takes place on Peacock here in the States. For anybody who might be listening, other places, WWE Network. I do get a few listeners from other countries, not too many.
Or if you're in the Philippines, Disney Plus.
Really? Disney Plus has the WWE Network, huh?
Yep.
Nice. I know that. You should watch that, see NXT Deadline, and see how those matches turn out for their first time ever in NXT. Anything you want to plug as we get out? Or anything last.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Next time I do a prediction show, won't be on here because I know it'll be for the Royal Rumble. That'll be over on YouTube. Depending on how many listeners this gets, may or may not come back and do one at least possibly for NXT Vengeance Day in February. We'll see. That being said, I'm going to take it back to right field featuring Emotional Glam for Puppeteer, the official theme song for NXT Deadline. You guys have a good one.
Big Splits into Big Tex Radio. We got another caller on the request line. What can I do for you, man?
Hey, can we slow it down for a sec?
Sure thing. Thank you.